Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, still in speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, sees a block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards. Breaks one tackle. He's got some running room, 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think we're going to get him. He's going to have a chance, though. He takes him into 39 at the 40. Comes to the outside, 45. He's at midfield. Runs past the man, 40. He's coming back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow!
Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
Welcome to Bengal Beat, the fifth edition of Bengal Beat for the 2015 football season. This is a Tiger Hype podcast, and I am your host, Patrick Fry. And of course, as always, I will be here each week talking LSU football throughout the season. I am broadcasting live today from my hometown of Eunice, Louisiana, where I'm currently enjoying the festivities of my high school alumni co-ed softball tournament. But for the next 30 minutes, I will be discussing LSU football. It's an unusually early start for me. It's 9 a.m. Central Time right now, but this episode will be available throughout the weekend for all you Tiger fans to enjoy. Thank you for tuning in, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Go follow our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. Our guest line is 675-383-0294. I have that posted up right now on our Facebook page. So if you want to call in, join the discussion on what we're talking about today, feel free to give me a call. We'll have a discussion. We'll be talking of Jalen Mills injury coming up in a minute. We'll also be talking about some rule changes for the 2015 season. There's a good bit of rule changes, so we'll spend a good bit of time talking about some of the significant rule changes. We're 2 weeks away from kickoff at Tiger Stadium, where McNeese, 2 weeks, man, it's here already. I remember just, you know, a few months ago when I was excited that the countdown to kickoff got to double digits. Now we're 14 days away and 4 days or 5 days away from it being single digits. We will have just one more Bengal Beat podcast episode next week separating us from the game against McNeese State, where the Cowboys, they'll be coming into Baton Rouge looking for their biggest win in school history. There's a lot of talk right now, as many of you know now, any of you faithful listeners to Bengal Beat. I do live in Lake Charles, and you know, there's more talk each week about McNeese giving LSU a run for their money. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the podcast. I've been doing this podcast for going on 5 weeks now, and with each episode I become a little more jacked up inside because we are that much closer to football season. I'm a guy, for the most part, who can keep calm on the outside, but on the inside I'm totally geared up for college football season to kick off on September 3rd, which is only 12 days away. So we have 14 days until LSU football starts. We have 12 days until the season kicks off. It's right around the corner. I can smell it, almost taste it. It's going to be great. Unfortunately, this past week we had a little bit of bad news for LSU fans. Nothing really too severe, but Jalen Mills, in the morning session practice this past Wednesday, LSU senior safety Jalen Mills suffered an ankle injury in practice and is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. It was initially reported that Mills had a fractured fibula, but Mills' mother told the Advocate out of Baton Rouge that he will not need surgery and classified the injury as a sprain. So Jalen Mills has played all 39 games of his LSU career. And in those 39 games, man, he's accumulated quite the numbers, 186 total tackles, 6 interceptions, and 3 sacks. Excuse me for a minute. If I go silent for a few seconds, I'm just taking a sip of my coffee. Like I said, it's 9 a.m., kind of getting the ball rolling. It's actually kind of early. It's sort of early for me lately. I haven't been able to wake up before 9 a.m., but today, here I am. We're talking LSU football. We're talking to Jalen Mills' injury right now. Talk about his replacement. He is expected to be replaced by junior Ricky Jefferson, who has had 29 total tackles in 15 career games, along with 2 interceptions. So Ricky Jefferson, not nearly as, you know, as experienced as Jalen Mills, but he has some experience there, and I believe that Ricky Jefferson will have that physicality that Jalen Mills has. I know many of you have seen that viral video of Jalen Mills going through the gauntlet drill at one of LSU's practices, and oh my goodness, I could sit there and watch that video all day because Jalen Mills looked like a man amongst boys. And then this past summer, Ricky Jefferson put on his Twitter account him power cleaning, I think it was over 300 pounds. I want to say it was 315 or 320, but, I mean, he manhandled it. So we know Ricky Jefferson is very strong, and hopefully he can be as physical as Jalen Mills, the Jalen Mills that we've seen in that gauntlet video that probably many LSU fans have seen on the internet. According to The Advocate out of Baton Rouge, a source says that the goal is to have Jalen Mills back by their September 19th showdown against the Auburn Tigers in Tiger Stadium. September the 19th, that will be a 2:30 start time on CBS. That's the third game of the season. That's a big one, man. You know, a lot of people in Baton Rouge are telling me, man, let's go to the McNeese State game. It's going to be a great game. I'm telling them, I'm like, you know, I wouldn't mind going to that game. Of course, I wouldn't mind going to every LSU game, but if I want to go to an LSU game, I'm waiting to go to the LSU game 2 weeks after McNeese State, and that's, you know, the Auburn Tigers coming into town September the 19th. We owe them one. You know, we went down to Auburn last year and absolutely got dismantled. Brandon Harris surely owes them one. Speaking of Brandon Harris, we're going to talk a little bit about the position battles, a few key position battles going on right now. Of course, the number one position battle everyone's talking about, it's the quarterback. As of right now, Brandon Harris is still taking first-team reps. Harris took the lead over Anthony Jennings during summer practice, doing 7-on-7 drills while Anthony Jennings was suspended. Right now, it looks like it's Brandon Harris's job to lose. Harris has gained 27 pounds over the summer and reported to fall camp at 212 pounds, which is up from 185 pounds, which is what he played at his freshman season. But it wouldn't surprise me if Anthony Jennings gets some playing time, though. Les Miles has been known to try a two-quarterback system, but I feel like he has his guy in Brandon Harris, and if he continues to do what the coaches want him to do in an efficient and consistent way, then he will be the true starter for this LSU football team. Also packing on that weight, 212 pounds now. He could take more of a hit. I feel like he was a little more fragile as far as his body goes, you know, as a 18, 19-year-old, 185 pounds, playing in the SEC, playing a full SEC schedule at that. And then Brandon Harris just started one game last year. He played in a few other games, of course. And, you know, he could very easily be taking a beating, kind of like a Robert Griffin III took a beating earlier this week in their preseason game, you know. So it's good that Brandon Harris has packed on those pounds and to be able to take a hit. And I believe in the scrimmage, last Saturday, they kind of took the green jerseys off of the quarterbacks. And, you know, it wasn't full contact on the quarterbacks, but they kind of wanted to get the quarterbacks a little roughed up. I believe I mentioned it last week on our episode. They want to get the quarterbacks roughed up a little bit, get them used to it because they will get roughed up one way or the other in the SEC schedule that they do play. Let's go talk about cornerback now. Cornerback is very interesting. Of course, on one side you have Tre'Davious White will be the starter. He's the shutdown corner, the number one cornerback on this team, most experienced cornerback on this team. Now let's talk about opposite of Tre'Davious White. Coming into fall camp, sophomore Ed Parrish was presumed to be the starter, but it now seems that junior Dwayne Thomas could be the one who lines up opposite of Tre'Davious White on September the 5th when the Tigers open up against McNeese State. Dwayne Thomas has the experience of the group with Ed Parrish and, of course, the two true freshmen, Dante Jackson and Kevin Tolliver, rotating at cornerback, and that experience is something that the coaching staff is looking for as an option at that corner spot. Dwayne Thomas has always been the inside cornerback on the nickel and dime packages. You know, you have two outside corners, and then, you know, in a nickel package, you have one, you know, you have a third cornerback. He'll play inside, one side or the other. Usually that's been Dwayne Thomas. So it'll be interesting to see how he fares going from the inside, where most of the time, you're covering a slot receiver who may be third or fourth on the depth chart. Now you're going to be going up against maybe ones or twos, depending on where you line up. So it'll be interesting to see how Dwayne Thomas could fare on the outside playing cornerback. Dante Jackson, the highly touted freshman who ran a 4.36, I might add, he's been getting work on the same side as Tre'Davious White, so it's possible that Jackson could be rotating in and out with Tre'Davious White. And, you know, talking about position battles here, you know, there's a position battle going on with just this one player, Dante Jackson, right now. There's talk of him playing defense. There's talk of him playing offense, maybe slot receiver, and also talks of him playing special teams. I believe he would be a good punt returner, maybe a kick returner. I know we have Leonard Fournette who finished the season off last year having kick return duties, but with a guy as valuable as Fournette, do you really want to put him returning kicks when you have other guys who are very just as capable of breaking one loose, like a Dante Jackson, who ran a 4.36 as a true freshman? That's unbelievable. So it'll be an interesting development to see where Dante Jackson ends up playing most, whether it be cornerback, slot receiver, or even some special teams. All right, let's talk a little fullback here. We haven't really, if the fullback doesn't get much love, and there's rumors that LSU might go more towards the spread system, although, of course, LSU does like to run the ball, pound the ball down the middle. Maybe a little bit more spread this year, so a little bit less use of a fullback. But at fullback, it looks like John David Moore could be the starter for opening day. He saw action at fullback last year and also at tight end, which is what he's listed at on the LSU roster. But he is expected to be the starting fullback. There's also been talk about David Ducree, 6 foot, 238-pound true freshman from Slidell, making the push for the fullback spot. But he should see some playing time at fullback, although he will not start. He brings a little something extra to the fullback position, having experience carrying the football and catching it out of the backfield. Last season, Darrell Williams would line up at fullback in short yardage situations. Ducree has taken that similar role this fall, which could lead to some significant plays this season. More times than none, though, Ducree will be used for blocking the running back, so blocking Fournette and Darrell Williams and all them guys back there. Let's switch over now and talk about some rule changes for 2015. There's a good bit of rule changes here. This will probably take a good 10 minutes. So if you're a big college football fan, you like to know about the rules. I know I do. I'm always aware of the rules, so that way if I see something happen, I immediately know what the ruling could be, even though I'm wrong sometimes. Let's start with the crew of 8 officials. For about 30 years, the rules have allowed as many as 7 officials on the field based on an approved experiment by the Big 12 Conference. The rules now allow for 8 officials. The 8th official, which is the center judge, he'll have the letter C on his uniform, is positioned in the offensive backfield opposite of the referee. Another rule here, non-standard overbuilt face masks are illegal. I remember reading about that. This is a face mask characterized by greater weight and closer spacing between the face mask bars. The use of the face mask is a safety issue, as opponents can easily get their fingers caught in those tight spaces when you have all those bars. So the NFL actually outlawed this face mask a few years ago, and now college football is outlawing it as well. I think it was Sean Oakman, that guy from Baylor. I know he had that crazy face mask. He looked very intimidating. And, I remember the internet went crazy about making memes about Sean Oakman. And, it was just funny. Don't mess with Sean Oakman, basically, was the point of the meme. So we'll go to the next new rule, illegal equipment. A player is caught with illegal equipment. They are out for one play. Up until now, if the officials noticed that a player was wearing illegal equipment, the team was charged one of its 3 timeouts. The new rule is that the player must leave the game for at least one play and may not return until the equipment is made legal. His team may burn a timeout to keep him from missing a down, but the equipment must be corrected before he is allowed to play. All right, here's another rule. It's regarding pregame warm-ups. Teams are guaranteed access to the field. By the new rule, the teams are now guaranteed that they may remain on the field for pregame warm-ups until at least 22 minutes before the opening kickoff. The committee was concerned that teams were being forced to leave the field early because of other pregame activities and thus were having to spend too much time in the locker room before kickoff. The new rule may be suspended for a given game by prior mutual agreement of teams. I remember back when I played at high school football at Eunice High School, our coach, we'd go on the road and we'd kind of sit around a lot, and our coach didn't like that. He didn't want us to sit around. He wanted us to get there, and as soon as we got there, maybe take 5 minutes to kind of stretch out, get loose, and then, he wanted us to hit the field. You get special teams that went on an hour before kickoff, And, you know, that's high school football, of course, not really the same neighborhood as college football. But, you know, I can understand why coaches wouldn't want their players to just kind of go out there, warm up, and sit around. So now here's another rule regarding resetting the play clock. When the ball is not ready for play, when the play clock begins its count from 40 seconds, on rare occasions, the officials will have difficulty getting a new ball from the sidelines. In such a case, after some period of time, the referee will stop the game clock and signal for the play clock to be reset to 25 seconds. In previous years, this was done after 20 seconds had elapsed. This has been changed now to 15 seconds to prevent too much time from running off the clock. This happens very seldom, but there must be a rule to deal with it. So that rule is now in play for the 2015 season. Another rule now, helmet off on a defensive player. The play clock is set to 40 seconds. So I got all the descriptions for these rules right here. So for this rule, when a player's helmet comes off, the game clock is stopped. Player must leave the game for one play. In past years, the play clock had been set to 25 seconds. Last year, however, there were a few situations near the end of the half where this happened with more than 25 seconds on the game clock. This forces the offense to have to snap the ball one more time when they were trying to run the clock out. So now the play clock is set to 40 seconds when a defensive player loses his helmet, and still to 25 seconds when it is a player on offense. This is also consistent with the rule for stopping the game due to an injured player. Now, here's another one that I think is going to have a significant little impact. Pushing or pulling an opponent off the pile results in an unsportsmanlike conduct. Player safety continues to be a major emphasis of the Rules Committee. This new rule addresses player action at the end of a fumble play, for example, when several players are scuffling for the ball in a pile. Starting in 2015, if a player forcibly pulls or pushes an opponent off the pile, he is to be charged with an unsportsmanlike conduct, which, of course, is 15 yards. That could make a difference between winning and losing. I've seen games. I was watching an old game on YouTube the other day. I think it was Utah and BYU. I believe it was 2012 or 2013. Many of you college football fans may know how crazy of an ending that game was and how different it could have been because of an unsportsmanlike penalty for all the fans running out on the field. If you haven't seen this game, I would go look up. I think it's BYU and Utah, 2012, the last 5 minutes. If you're a big college football fan and you don't remember that game, I would go watch it because it's one of the most hectic endings of a college football game I've ever seen. So pushing or pulling an opponent off the pile, even though that's not what happened, they actually they got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty because fans ran out on the field while the field live. I believe it was BYU. BYU was kicking a field goal. They were down by three, looking to tie the game. Field goal was blocked. The second the field goal was blocked, fans ran out onto the field, and the play was still alive. You know, BYU was able to get the ball back and try to make something happen. Ball was still alive. Fans ran out on the field. They were charged with a live ball, unsportsmanlike conduct, gave them 15 yards, and, you know, they had a 15-yard shorter field goal to kick, even though they didn't, you know, win the game. But pushing or pulling an opponent off the pile, unsportsmanlike conduct, I do believe that's going to play a significant role in some games this year. Now you have sideline warning returns. An important point of emphasis for the Rules Committee and the officials is keeping the sidelines clean. This means that players and coaches are not allowed in the restricted area, which is the space between the sidelines and the coach's box and the team area. For a long time, the first infraction led to a sideline warning with no yardage penalty. After a few years, the rule was changed to assess a 5-yard penalty for the first offense. Now we are returning to the warning for the first infraction. No yardage penalty will result in the second offense. Now instant replay. This one's going to be interesting, I believe. This might be the most interesting one out of the whole group. Instant replay. Blocking during an onside kick may be reviewed. And here's the explanation for that one. One of the important rules about kickoffs is that the kicking team is not allowed to touch the ball until it has gone 10 yards, unless a receiver touches the ball first. After it has gone 10 yards, either team may get the ball A rule that is not so well known is that the kicking team may not block until they are eligible to touch the ball. The instant replay official has always been able to review whether the kick is touched. Starting in 2015, the instant replay official may also review whether the kicking team blocks before being eligible to touch the ball. If they do, it's a foul. The Rules Committee feels that because of the enormous potential for the kicking team to get possession of the ball as a result of blocking too early, the instant replay official should be able to review this play and possibly create a foul from the replay booth. So those are the new rule changes for 2015. I'm going to quickly go over them one more time. They have a crew of 8 officials. The non-standard overbuilt face mask are illegal. Illegal equipment results in a player being out for one play or until they get the equipment legal. Pre-game warm-ups, teams are guaranteed access to the field up until at least 22 minutes before opening kickoff. Resetting the play clock when the ball is not ready for play. Helmet off the defensive player. Play clock will be set back to 40 seconds instead of 25 seconds. Pushing or pulling an opponent off the pile is an unsportsmanlike conduct. Sideline warning returns instead of just being a penalty. And then you have instant replay blocking during an onside kick may be reviewed. So some significant rule changes for 2015. Of course, they apply to LSU just as much as anybody else. Let's talk about, go back to LSU football now. LSU football team will have a scrimmage today at 11:15 a.m. They will be scrimmaging actually just under 2 hours from now behind closed doors in Tiger Stadium. Brandon Harris is expected to get the majority of the first team snaps. This scrimmage is a pivotal event in the quarterback battle, and offensive coordinator Cam Cameron said a couple of weeks ago that this past week could solidify some things in the quarterback battle. So it will be interesting to see, you know, the reports that come out of this LSU scrimmage later on this morning. We'll probably, you know, I mean, I won't be doing another episode until next week. I'm hoping by next week we could have a starting quarterback announced. Not, you know, willing to bet on that just yet, but hey, you never know. Brandon Harris sounds like he's starting to solidify some things. So, like I said, this scrimmage this morning could be very pivotal. Let's talk about an injury update other than Jalen Mills. Linebacker Lamar Lewis, he had a green no-contact jersey, but he shed his green non-contact jersey in last Saturday scrimmage and is fully healthy. Lewis suffered a strained pectoral muscle while lifting weights over the summer. And yet receiver John Diarce has donned a green non-contact jersey for much of this week, but he is believed to have a minor injury. He's been running full speed at practice, so everything seems healthy in Baton Rouge other than Jalen Mills, who is expected to make his return as of right now for the Auburn game. All right, like I said, 2 weeks away from McNeese State University. I live in Lake Charles. There's, you know, all the talk about the McNeese football team. I have a buddy of mine that I work with. He actually runs track for McNeese. He went watch a McNeese scrimmage, and I asked him, you know, what stood out from that scrimmage, and he was just ranting and raving about the running backs. I mentioned it last week. They have an army of running backs. They have so many running backs that they had to move one over to cornerback because of his speed. Kelvin Bennett, one of the running backs for McNeese State University, has been moved to cornerback, so that'll be interesting to see how Kelvin Bennett fares at cornerback. But you still have Ryan Ross, Derek Milton, the D1 transfer from Mississippi State, and Dylan Long, the three-headed monster at running back, who can all get it done on the ground. And then, you have Daniel Sams, the mobile quarterback, who probably uses his feet just as much, if not more, than his arm. So I heard that, you know, hey, them running backs were looking real nice over there in Lake Charles. Going to be interesting to see how this LSU defensive line, you know, we talked about the lack of depth that the LSU defensive line had. Well, this running back core of McNeese has a lot of depth. So it'll be interesting to see if the McNeese Cowboys try and wear down the Tigers early with a run game to see them. You know, you never know. They may be successful to start off. They may not be successful. 2 weeks, we're going to all find out the answers to these questions. I can't wait. So, hey, I'm going to tell you what. If you think LSU's quarterback situation is bad, Alabama probably has it worse. Jake Coker, their presumed starter, he's been out, I believe, with a foot injury. And right now, of the 4 available quarterbacks that they have, there is zero career pass attempts in college right now. So I saw that on ESPN the other day. Zero career pass attempts between the four available quarterbacks right now. So, like I said, if you Tiger fans out there think we have a bad situation at quarterback, think again, because Alabama right now, they're still trying to find their idea on the offensive side. And, you know, but Alabama, you know, they don't rebuild, they reload. And I have a feeling Jake Coker will be back at some point in the season. I'm surely expecting him to be back for the LSU game in early November. But, you know, they have their opening game against Wisconsin in 2 weeks. Could be. I'm, you know, if they don't have a healthy, experienced quarterback under center that night, then, hell, I may change my pick from Alabama to Wisconsin. You know, I play the pick'em on ESPN. So, of course, Alabama and Wisconsin is the featured game of week one. So, right now I got Alabama winning that game. But, hey, if they don't have a legit quarterback, then I may change that pick. So, the AP poll will be released today at 1 p.m. I know many of you out there, you know, preseason polls are useless. They're pointless. They're irrelevant. Well, if you go and look, if you go to a year ago when the AP poll was released preseason in 2014, four of the teams that were in the preseason poll actually made the college football playoff. You had number one, Florida State. You had number two, Alabama. You had number three, Oregon. And then you had number five, Ohio State. And you know, I do agree that the preseason poll is irrelevant because it doesn't matter where you're ranked in August. It only matters where you're ranked in late November and early December. So, you know, I agree in that regard that it's irrelevant to that point. But, you know, whenever you got, you know, all these experts correctly getting the top four playoff teams right in the preseason poll, that's saying something. And ESPN's Brett McMurphy has an AP ballot, and he shared it with the world on Twitter. LSU fell to at – I say they fell. And, I mean, they're at number 13, which is where they are in the coaches poll. So I even saw a poll the other day. I think USA Today ranked the top 128 college football teams. LSU was number 27. They didn't show LSU any love, but you know what? I really like it when when people like USA Today don't show LSU love, because then, hey, you know what? That takes a little bit of pressure off the Tigers, even though the pressure is always high to win in Baton Rouge because they've built that winning tradition. So, but here's McMurphy's top five. Number one, of course, Ohio State. Then you have number two, TCU. Number three, Baylor. Number four, USC. And number five, Michigan State. Some of LSU's opponents. Auburn comes in at number seven. Alabama, number nine. Alabama kind of falling back a little bit. They were number three in the coaches' poll. Brett McMurphy has them at number nine, probably because of their quarterback situation. Then you have, let's see here, Arkansas comes in at number 18. You have Ole Miss at 21, and even though it's not, and then you have some other SEC teams fell in the top 25, Tennessee at 25. Then you have Georgia at 15, and I believe that's it. Yeah, that's all the SEC teams that made it there. All right, guys. About time for me to wrap it up here, but thanks again for tuning in, and remember to like our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, as well as our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. Sign up for our mailing list. It's on our podcast Facebook page, and I will repost it again today in just a few minutes as soon as I sign off. Join us again next week for another edition of Bengal Beat, as it will be our final Bengal Beat podcast before we kick off the season. I will preview LSU versus McNeese State, as well as some other things to look for on opening weekend of college football season. Until then, folks, have a good week and go Tigers.